is,
check that.
Oh, okay. All right, at 6 o'clock, we'll call our work session in order. So we'll start with the highway pavement management plan. Kevin Rowe.
Yeah, I asked this to be brought up work session. Ken isn't sure if he's going to have enough money to finish what we had budgeted. I know he had sent the board members a letter in an email this week stating where the shortfall is that he anticipates, and talking with Al, we may not need it, but it's a better safe than sorry for what we had approved earlier in the year. Some of the reasons for the shortfall is we had approved back in the spring to use ARPA funds for South Ivy, and then when we scheduled the pavement management plan, we had enough money to do the work, and we used money from the road maintenance projects for this year to fix that. We didn't end up using ARPA money, correct, Al? We haven't. So, you know, I had put 120 grand because before Monday I didn't have an amount, and Ken didn't have one finalized. When he sent you the letter, he got it down to 37,000. But I believe the 37,000 would be as if we appropriate 25% of the South Ivy Trail cost to the Seneca Estates Drainage District, which we are allowed to do.
Yeah, that would cover all.
Right. That would cover the part of the work that we did outside of the road.
Outside of the road, right?
Yes. That they would legally be, they could have covered regardless.
Correct.
And there's money in that fund?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not going to cost taxpayers any additional drainage district fees if we appropriate that. But I would assume Ken's 37,403 is if we move that 19,271. So, you know.
No.
It is not.
No, we're asking, so Ken's asking for 37,403 total.
Okay.
If you over, so the 19,271 can be subtracted from the 37,403, and the balance would be from fund balance, and it would be either from the paper potholes or the extreme winter recovery. So I got a little more information on this that I want to share. So right now we do have contingency built into the extra Eden. But I don't want to, so we're coming up on the end of paving season. The minimum surface temperature that you look for to put top course paving down is no lower than 60 degrees. Typically, you want to have all your top course paving done before October. I'm not going to know how much of the contingency on Exeter and Eden I have left until probably the beginning of October. Or we're not going to know. So there is going to be money left in the construction budget, but I'm hesitant to move the money from construction maintenance to beat the oncoming winter weather and temperatures that would make top course paving out of specification now. For obvious reasons, because construction is what construction is, and sometimes when you open up a road, you find things that you don't expect that eat up your contingency. So, more than likely, there'll be some money left in the road construction budget after we finish Exeter and Eden. But I'm hesitant to ask the board to move that money until that project is done. The other unknown is what the asphalt index does next month. Right now, oil is at the same price that it was back in March. But the asphalt index hasn't fallen to what asphalt cost in March. So I anticipate that we're going to see an increase in the asphalt index for September. But how much? I don't know. It should have went down more than it did in August. And now we're, you know, I would just be guessing. So we would like to get the spree blade done and the rough spots of Grace Landing fixed before the weather closes in. And we know the board doesn't want us to run accounts into a negative balance for budget transfer later, So this is where we're at.
You guys need to get these doors open.
They can't by law run them into.
Well, I know. We don't want to do that. So this is, this is where we're at.
So I'm totally confused in terms of how much money Ken is really asking for here and how much he really needs. If I'm reading his memo, there's $29,000 in the pothole program. There's another $34,000 in the winter recovery program. Those two numbers add up to $64,000. And then you take from the Ivy Trail another $19,000.
Care where you pull the money from. We're just telling you where
he's giving a list of where it is.
He's giving options of where we can pull money
from. Do the transfer from.
Yeah, so I wouldn't take it out of the budgeted amount for our highway maintenance and then take it out of those two other things, and you still got the money left over, right?
Well, yeah, you're still in the black on your fund balance is still growing from what it would have been at the end of the year for those state funded programs that we received that were not budgeted revenues.
So, Al, would you refresh my memory when South Ivy Trail was going on? We were holding discussions about that.
Yep.
At first, we were going to
use ARPA money.
In my memory, this is why I want you to refresh. At first, we were going to charge 25% of the cost to the
drainage district.
Then we were going to use ARPA money. Was there a reason why we didn't charge the drainage district?
The town board needs to approve a budget resolution to charge the drainage district.
But during our discussion, so we decided.
We decided, yes, we were going to use ARPA money, so we weren't going to charge the drainage district.
Okay.
Then we got additional state funding, the touring routes money, and we were going to cover all of that. And I do feel that, like I said, there's probably enough money in the existing road maintenance and construction funds to cover all the rest of the work that we have left. But I'm not going to know where the construction number falls out until we're, I don't want to say past the season where you would want to put down asphalt top course, but we're at the end of the season, and I got to get it scheduled with a paving contractor, and we're up against it from a weather standpoint and a temperature spec standpoint, more so than I would feel comfortable waiting that long.
Okay, right, and that's the other thing. First thing, I just wanted you to refresh my memory because I thought we had decided we weren't going to charge the drainage district because they had an emergency previous years, and we drained that, right? Hadn't we drained that?
We drained it. We built it back up, and now we're going to drain it just straight back down again.
Okay, and that's why we didn't do that. That's why we decided to use our. Okay, again, I was just testing my memory. The other thing you're saying is that the money's there in extreme winter recovery fund
and pave our potholes.
That money is sitting.
Those are two state funded programs that we received the funding from.
Okay.
That will get put into the fund balance, but we're not transferred into the expense lines with the pavement management plan part two.
Okay.
That was approved back in June. And that was just the supervisor indicated that he wasn't comfortable moving that much money.
Okay.
Well, we already moved $495,000 in there.
Okay, we got more money than the $495,000. Is the bottom line. We got these other two funds that were not included in that.
All right. So, and you also said you think probably we're gonna be all right.
Yeah.
That $37,000 is gonna be there anyhow. You just want this to make sure that
we don't run an account into the negative, and we can schedule the work with a paving contractor before the beginning of October.
Okay. So then that leads me to, I'm sorry that I'm monopolizing this.
No, go ahead.
That's fine.
So the $29,000 and the $34,000, that is in the general fund.
It's in the highway fund balance.
It's in the highway fund balance.
That's fine, yeah.
So we pull it out of the highway fund balance and spend it on this $37,000, or portion of it. Spend it on this $37,000.
Yep.
And then we do end up coming in
with construction comes under budget.
Yep.
That money will be left and will roll into the fund balance.
Roll it back over where it belongs.
Correct.
Now, just so everyone knows, in the 2021 budget, in that pavement management plan, I think about $57,000 was designated to work on South Ivy Trail.
Yeah.
The work never got done, So that just ended up in the appropriated highway fund balance.
Correct.
You know, this is where the encumbering, you know, at the end of the year, what projects didn't mm-hmm. we finish? What are we going to do? We had a couple changeovers there. New comptroller, you know, new yep. supervisor. So probably that money should have been encumbered, and that money would have covered what we're asking for now on a project we've done.
So then where did you come up with $120,000, Kevin?
That was a guess on
that's
Monday.
That's an $80,000 difference.
Sure. It was a guess because when I had talked to Ken and Alicia 2 weeks ago, we were at about 90 grand. And I figured, you know, 20 or 30%. Possible increase. We don't want to start there, as you can see by Ken's letter. You can see the additional costs he's incurred on other roads that he's worked on. I don't want to hamstring somebody from fixing a road right, because I don't believe paving over bad is a good way to go when we might have to fix it a couple years down the road. And then we tear up everything we put money into. So I just wanted to make sure, and I had emailed Supervisor Wicks to put it on the work session and the agenda, just so the public knew what we might possibly be looking at. And I also said that number could be considerably low, which once Ken got good numbers, that's what Ken came in with yesterday.
And that's why it's not on the that's why it's not on the agenda, because there was no supporting documentation on this, and I hadn't had an opportunity to talk to the highway superintendent. We're not I'm not just going to put stuff on the agenda that we don't, that doesn't have any documentation along with it. Now, he sent this. I mean, that's the type of stuff I would expect to see if you're asking for a budget with anybody. Ask anybody that sends me a budget modification, comes in and they give me documentation. You sent me $120,000, which it's over $82,000 over what they actually need. I mean, anybody shouldn't come up with an arbitrary number, which is what that $120,000 is. That's just an arbitrary number. We can't be, my responsibility is for the budget, you know, and we have to have documentations on why sure. we do what we do.
And on Monday, I didn't have that documentation, but I want the public to know that we could be moving money tonight. And if people wanted to be here, they could come and ask questions.
And that's why it's on. If you look at the agenda.
It's not, there's no motion.
Doesn't have to be.
But yes.
We already talked about that. As long as I talked about that with Mr. Rivasigna before, the changes in the open meetings law, as long as you put it on the agenda somewhere, highway management plan, 120,000 additional funds, then that would meet the criteria to make a motion along that night. Isn't that what we discussed before, Mr. Tony?
Yeah, because you don't have time to go back and notify the public before the meeting, but they know that they have a subject on the discussion in the public session.
And that's the reasoning behind I understand that's the reason behind why the governor changed that law. So as long as we notify them that we're going to be talking about additional funds being moved, we meet that open meetings law criteria.
Right. And so we went with the number I spit on to get it on the agenda tonight. That's fine. What I wanted to do is make sure the public knew that we might be moving money tonight, and I didn't know the amount. That's all. I mean, we've got things that got added to the agenda yesterday afternoon that I received that were moving money. I mean, did we know about that when the first agenda was written?
I say that
we
again.
We got a budget modification from the comptroller for parks.
Yeah.
That went on yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I knew what the, I had this. I knew what the numbers were. Yeah. We had that discussion. I sat down with Kevin, and he went through the budget modifications, and that's why it's on there. And that's what I would expect of Ken. And I called Ken to ask him about that, and if Ken would have come over and given this to me ahead of time, that would have been on there as well. But I'm not just going to put something on the agenda that we spitball, because that's not how we do.
Ken's letter's dated August 16th. That was Tuesday.
But
you had an amount from
the I didn't get that Tuesday.
Okay. You didn't get the email?
I didn't get that. No, I didn't get that email, yeah. I didn't open it up. I didn't get this until I'm not saying I didn't get it. I didn't review it until later. And I'm not sure when I did it. It was sometimes yesterday.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, I just hope that we're going to make a motion tonight so we can finish what we said we'd do earlier in the year. That's all.
Well, I don't know that we need to make a motion tonight for that. If
I don't have the account numbers that the transfer. I'm not. I don't have the account numbers. I can probably go figure them out.
No. What I'm saying is,
give me a verbal okay that you're going to make a budget transfer after the comptroller puts the formal numbers together, I'll go ahead and start getting the
account in my email?
I don't see it.
Okay.
I just want to know that I can go ahead and start getting this on contract.
Yeah, like we talked today. I mean, we were talking it has to be done before October.
From a temperature standpoint.
No. I understand that. But what I'm saying is we don't have to make that motion tonight in order to give you the time to do what you need to do. And then our comptroller could come up with the budget modifications as long as we discuss it tonight. I can go back with her and I'll sit down with her and come up with the appropriate budget modifications for that. And we're talking about
So does the board want to send to the states or how do you want to do that?
No. So the number we're talking about is 37,403.
Correct.
Okay. So we have, what I will do with, well, I don't know where everybody else is at. I spoke with Al today, and why don't you explain what's the other road we were talking about in
Rick?
Yeah, why don't you tell them the condition of that?
I mean, the street grade is in rough shape. We've got some pieces of asphalt top quarts that are falling out of it. It's all alligator cracked. She's toasty. She's ready to be repaved. It was in our initial scheduled plan of work to be done. And we had to remove it because of the price of asphalt went kind of crazy this spring. You talked to me in March and said that gas was going to be $5 a gallon by the end of June. I would have said you're crazy. And that's where we ended up. And the same thing happened to the price of asphalt. So we didn't get to do as many roads as we had wanted to do. So when we got the unexpected funding from the state, we got the spree back in there because the cracks are wide enough that we got grass growing in them now. And we've got pieces of asphalt falling out of the road. That road's going to get really rough this winter if we don't get it paved before snow flies just because of how significant the cracking is.
That's all part of the 37,403.
Correct.
Okay. So
the only question is, where do we want to get the money from?
Right. So,
well, I think what I'm going to suggest to you is that I sit down with the comptroller and I come up with places where, you know, I would suggest we take them out of that makes the most amount of sense, especially when Al was saying there's probably going to be a surplus or all the
contingencies
from Eden and Exeter,
right? Yeah.
Especially with that, and then
so we'll be able to put it back.
Yes.
Well, it would go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, I got a 10% contingency on a $421,000 project. You know what I mean? So there's contingency there. Am I going to use some of it? Probably, because there's always unknowns when you get into a construction project. Do I think I'm going to find a $40,000 unknown? No. So my hope is that all of the 37.4 will just be left in the construction budget at the end of the year and we'll roll into the road highway budget.
Good. Okay. I'm fine with it. I would like to stay away from
make sure it's all right. There's nothing.
South Ivy Trail, just because we have made that decision already.
Seneca State Street.
Right.
And it's already been covered anyway. I mean, if all we're looking at is $37,000 shortfall, then I'll sit down with the comptroller and we'll figure out where, and Ken, when he comes back, to figure out where it's most appropriate to take the to move the money.
Okay.
I'll let you be good with that.
I'm good with that.
I take it you're good with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody's in agreement. And then what I'll do is I'll have that ready for the next board meeting.
Okay.
So you got the
Thank you.
Al?
Yeah, I just grabbed my copy.
Okay.
Agenda.
All right. Yeah. So as far as the as far as scheduling it, you can move forward with that.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on
Thanks
that?
Thanks for explaining it.
All right. Bill payment issue, highway and others. So. Go ahead.
Well, no, you're fine. I think everybody knows what it's about.
Well, and I'll explain what happens. The if we get credit cards, first of all, the credit card, we got to come up with a new credit card policy, because that's one of the things that, as we're going through, once you identify that there's a problem, then you got to address it. So I'm actually, the next meeting, I'm going to propose a new credit card policy, because there's a $5,000 balance on the highway's credit card. They should not be using that for day-to-day activities. That's to be used for an emergency. That's to be used for something that they don't have a vendor, some unexplained or unanticipated expenses that you can't predict. So, but dirt, yards of dirt, that's something they use every day. Stone, that's something they use every day. They should have an account with whomever they need to have an account with, so that when they go out, they use that and don't use that credit card. For that credit card to be maxed out at $5,000, then they're using it in a way that credit cards aren't meant to be used. So we have to change that policy. So when we get a bill, an invoice, for something that, for some soil, there has to be some sort of documentation attached to it. There was no documentation attached to it. So the comptroller called over and said, look, I can't pay this bill without having some sort of documentation attached to it, which is what I would expect her to do. That's what her job is. So by the time she got it by the 14th, they ended up paying the bill. But there were a couple of things, a couple of issues in there, and the credit card being one, or, you know, they shouldn't be using it like that. And the second thing, people should know when they send bills to us that they have to have supporting documentation to it, otherwise they're not going to be paid, and that includes the highway.
Okay.
So that was the explanation with that. The other question with the insurance, we're in the process of digitizing the process, our accounting process and everything else like that. Eventually we're going to get new software. We haven't right now, but we're changing the policies and procedures in there. I'm the one that has been directing people to do certain things. So when we instituted this policy, that was something that the people that were involved, me included, didn't anticipate. There was a glitch in the system. Now we rectified that. There wasn't enough redundancies in there to ensure that what happened didn't happen. We instituted some new redundancies. We found, just like when you're putting any new policies in, there's always an evaluation period. We're still in the evaluation period of our policies and procedures, and we found a problem with the way that our processes were going. We cleaned that up. That's not going to happen again. We put in multiple steps and redundancies so that doesn't happen again. And with any critical area, that should never happen again. But I got to take the blame for that, because I'm the one that's in charge of those policies and procedures. So it was just something that I didn't anticipate, and neither did anybody else.
So is this a monthly bill? I mean, I know our company, we get billed for insurance monthly.
It's a monthly bill, but like I said, we have a different way of paying our bills and checking the vouchers and getting the vouchers between the comptroller, the my secretary, and me. And within that system, there was a glitch in the system that we corrected.
I mean, does the amount change every month? I mean, obviously, if you get new employees.
Yes, it can change, sure.
Okay.
But like I said, that's something that wasn't anticipated, and we identified it and we fixed it. But with any new processes, sometimes that's why you have an evaluation process. So you find the try to identify any problems in the system, any problems with what you're doing, and then you correct them, and then you institute it full time. But we're trying to digitize as much of our processes prior to us getting any new software in the future. And that right now, everything's done in paper. We can't do that. I mean, eventually everything's going to be digitized. When you pay your bills at home, I mean, they don't even want to send you bills in paper. So everything that we're doing has to be digitized. Not only that, the reason you want to digitize it is when you try to look up something in the system now, it's all done by hand. You got to go back. You got to look through all the papers. It's very laborious, time-consuming, and inefficient. So that's why we're moving to the digital age.
Was anybody's insurance declined or not covered?
You know it was. You know it was. I mean, well, you got told that it was. Yeah, it was declined. But
what I'm asking is, this doesn't qualify as a lapse in coverage for people, correct?
No. It got taken care of. Now, and that's the other problem. We identified with some of these critical areas, there has to be some redundancy on their part. If we don't send in a bill that we pay every month, we pay that month, we've been with the Teamsters for how many years now? 8, 10 years? 12 years? If we don't send a bill in, wonder if we mailed it and it got lost in the mail. They're going to cancel our insurance? Apparently they are. So we have to, that's part of the redundancy that we have to fix. It's not just on our part, it's on their part as well. We have to ensure that if something happens where they don't get that payment that they need, that we get notified immediately and we'll rectify it right away. So there is no lapse. Or we have to talk to them to figure out when you have homeowner's insurance, my car insurance, that didn't get paid. Same thing happened. I didn't get the bill. I missed it in my emails. And they were going to cancel my insurance, but they didn't cancel it that day. They give you 30 days, and then if it isn't paid by this date, we're going to cancel your payment. I don't know why they don't do that, but that's something I'm going to try and institute with them, that we will guarantee, if they need something in writing, I'll send it to them in writing. We will guarantee payment. If they don't get it, we will guarantee payment. Don't cancel it. Send us the letter, and you will get it. I'll send them a letter to that effect. However, we got to do it. Well, we're going to fix that. But that's on their end, too. I mean, who ever heard of that? Oh, you don't get something? The mail's late. The mailman dropped the letter, so they're going to cancel our insurance? Because that's what could happen as well.
Thank you. Great. Okay. Well, if the rest of the board's fine with that explanation, I guess I am too.
Well, that's the explanation.
Okay. In 2.5 years, has that happened since you were supervisor? Have we missed an insurance bill?
Yes, but that happened to be on a previous comptroller's issue.
Okay. I mean, I've only been here 7 months, so it's the first time.
That happened to be on a previous comptroller, and that was an employee issue. It wasn't a process issue. This was a process issue that we've rectified.
Okay. Thank you.
You got the next one, too.
Yep. Lysander Park Bathhouse. I saw in our budget we had $100,000, state grant. Kevin brought up at the last meeting, there was a bunch of other things, the bathrooms, bathhouse, whatever you want to call it. I'm just wondering, what's the holdup on getting that done? I mean, this was a project that was under Supervisor Saracen.
The grant of $100,000 for that was only just signed late June.
Okay.
And I'm in the process of evaluating the plan that would go along with that called for a pavilion and changing stations.
And you're not not comfortable with what...
That is absolutely not what is needed. So until further information is gathered on what we're going to do with that building and how we're going to do it, and if more money is needed, whatever, then that would be further information that I would come forward with at the time. But right now, it's just a matter of reviewing that plan. So there is no plan with that building at the moment. We have 2 years to spend that money.
Well, you brought it up when I brought up the lights, so I just wanted to know where we were at with it. I haven't seen an update on it. I mean, this has been on, you know, since 2019, so...
But like you said, when we get those grants...
Right,
when
he wants to change what we're doing with it.
Well, hold on.
I mean, as a board, we need to know that.
Hold on a second. When we apply for money, we got $200,000. I got a letter from Senator Mannion that we were awarded $200,000. We don't have that $200,000.
Correct.
It's going to take about 2 years to get that. We can't do anything moving forward that until all that paperwork is done, and it takes, right, Al, about a year and a half to 2 years, right? At least.
Yeah, that's the quickest I've seen one.
Okay.
Correct.
So, like he said, that just got taken care of on June 6th. So now in the interim, we've been talking about different things that the park needs. He's been running through some things, and what he said, Kevin, was that the bathhouse is probably not the most efficient way of doing things. So what he's going to do is come up with a proposal for the board to use that money and to look at some other options, and then we'll decide where we're going to go with it. But regardless of what plan he was going to do, that $100,000 wasn't going to cover that. But he just got it signed, or we, the town, just got it signed in June. So we're only in August. And then in the interim, he and Al were talking about other things, because the park needs bathrooms, it needs parking, so maybe that money could go to other projects that are more needed by the park and the people that go into the park than a bathhouse. And that's what he's looking into now.
Now, can we change the scope of that grant?
Yes.
There's a scope change request form that you can
use.
Okay. Now, have they ever denied that?
Not since I've only done one of them, but it was not a... It was a couple-month process, but they approved it.
Okay.
We have another $50,000 grant that we had to do that with. And we had to do that with, it was $50,000 to tear the building, the house down that was on where the two fields are going on. Nosewich, yeah. And the problem was, at the 10th hour, they notified us that they needed an appraisal on the house. And we had already torn the house down. Nobody knew. I was on the calls with Al. Nobody ever said we needed
Actually,
an appraisal.
We specifically asked.
We did.
That if we needed an appraisal, they said no.
Yeah, they said no.
Right.
And then at the 11th hour, they said, oh, just send us an appraisal for the property, and we'll send you the grant disbursement agreement. And, well, the house is gone.
Right. We were moving forward with it.
No,
that particular one, Kevin and I had conversations today about that $50,000. He said, could we use it towards, because the park needs additional parking, the park needs additional bathrooms. Could we use that $50,000 for some of that? And I said, come up with a proposal. That's what he's doing. He's sitting down and coming up with a plan to see how much it would cost, what the proposal would be, and then he's going to present it to the board.
I think it's important, if I can chime in here, I applaud this approach, because I was on this board when we not so much predicted, but we perceived that with the addition of the spray park, that the bathhouse would not be sufficient to take care of our needs. Well, that was before the spray park was in operation. I'm really happy to hear that Kevin and Supervisor Wicks are reevaluating it, because it sounds like what I'm hearing from you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, it's working fine. or maybe there's some modification. So rather than spend money on a plan that we thought we might need to do this, it's great that I'm hearing that you're we're going to be wiser and do what we really need.
I believe that was before.
It was before you, and it was before.
Well, but that was before Baldwin's Youth Soccer and Baldwin's Youth Lacrosse began using the park in addition to Pop Warner on a daily basis.
I mean, as long as you're saying to, as long as you're saying to all of us that the bathhouse is working fine, then why not do other things if you can? Is that what you're saying?
Or that the park, the use of the park has changed, so then the needs of the park have changed along with the use of the park.
And so, Supervisor Wicks had mentioned parking, but the bathhouse, we're talking bathrooms.
Yeah.
So that's the bathhouse, and the $100,000 grant that was written 2018 or 2019 for some modifications to the bathhouse or the bathrooms, whatever we want to call the building over there, had called for changing stations.
So we were going to put the
pavilion, not additional bathrooms or modifications to current bathrooms,
which
there's a men's room with two stalls, basically a stall and a urinal, and there's a women's room with two stalls, and then a change room, and then a family bathroom. So there's five toilets over there, and on a seasonal basis we rent, and this is something that I inherited it, but portable toilets that are rented over there that for whatever long standing agreement with Pop Warner and the other organizations, that portable toilets were provided over there because of cleats and mud and whatnot. But my desire to, in part of these bathroom, additional bathrooms, is to get away from portable toilets. Wasting money on portable toilets.
Well, I think the clean issue
the addition
was the problem.
Of all of the use, we need more toilets. We don't need changing rooms for kids and people that are using the spray park.
Right, but I think the portable toilets came into play because years ago we had issues with mud plugging the drains in the bathrooms. So the signs go up during football season, no cleats in the bathrooms. So I don't know if you build bathrooms with drains if you're just going to have that problem if you don't have porta potties for kids with their cleats, because nobody's going to stand there and make sure everybody takes their cleats off. I mean, I'm just telling you what the previous problems have been.
The problem is, it would be this, and that's in the works too, of getting people that will clean the mud out of the bathroom as opposed to making up excuses for why they shouldn't be having cleats in the bathroom.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that costs
solving
money.
Solving the problem with toilets, it should have been, no, we're going to clean the bathrooms. If people use the bathrooms, whether they're coming in with money cleats or whatever other people do in the bathrooms, Commissioner Gerasi can attest to.
Oh, right. I understand.
What's going on in the bathrooms?
I was just explaining why the porta potties.
We can attest to it, but we certainly can't explain it. And that's the job of higher staff to clean it, not solve the problem with portable toilets.
Right. Okay. Nope.
But the plan for the bathrooms, or the bathhouse, whatever we call it, is to come up with a more efficient plan and certainly a more efficient use of the grant money to improve the building for what we need, not what was thought we needed or what we wanted 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
We need bathrooms.
Right.
So
I'll say that's the only concern I have about getting rid of the portable toilets is just from being a parent and a coach. Is
can't go all the way to the bathroom every time
crossing the parking lot. Kids crossing the parking lot from the soccer fields to where the bathrooms are. So think the idea that you're going to get rid of all the portable toilets is realistic just because of that concern.
Well, I don't think, I mean, we're still in the process of looking at it. So I'm not saying, you know, and I don't think Kevin's saying that we're going to eliminate every one of them. But regardless of whether we, you know, eliminate half of them or all of them, we still need those. We still need the additional, and you agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the idea that we're going to get rid of all the portable toilets. I mean, we can put the cost back on the teams, which is certainly a possibility, and maybe that should be part of their
It is, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh.
It already is.
Only half of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Pop Warner agreed to pay for three additional when they're in their capital season.
Yeah, I mean, that's only, like, the soccer field. You just have kids of, let's face it, most parents drop their kids off and don't stay for the whole practice. Kids got to go to a bathroom, you know.
But we still have the thing. I mean, what Kevin's talking about, they'll be able to use them for changing stations for the, and you're going to have.
Definitely.
You're going to, I mean.
For what Kevin's doing, I just want the board to realize that the portable toilets probably
aren't
all going away.
Yeah, and he hasn't come up with a plan yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we're jumping ahead.
Kevin and I are on the same page of what the needs are over there. And what he wants to do, it's an issue of, I don't know.
Well, and I did give both of you the email with the contact information from Senator Mannion about the CREST grants, because they go from 50 to 250, so, you know. And they said parks are a great place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't want to wait and drag our feet on those. That's it for me. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, the highway cold storage. Elle and I had a conversation about this today, and that's really, Ken and Elle were really working on that, and you can explain to them where they are with the cold storage.
Yeah, we signed the grant disbursement agreement on that one in March. As everybody knows, material prices right now are kind of through the roof. We put Ken's in agreement with where we proposed it, Ken's in agreement on what the plan is, but we're kind of waiting a little bit until material prices come back into the stratosphere. I mean, steel right now is three times higher than what it was in 2019. We're going to exceed the $100,000 budget if we try to build it right now until the price of steel and lumber comes down. So we pumped the brakes on it. Now we're starting to see a reduction in the cost of steel and lumber. Maybe by springtime we'd be in a position where we would want to go ahead and bid that. But right now we're not. We would exceed the $100,000 budget that we got right now if we bid it right now. I do think that lumber is going to come back to where it was or close to where it was. I do think steel will come back closer to where it was. I mean, one of the big drivers in that is the tariffs that we're facing right now that are hurting Americans. Steel producers in America have no incentive to keep the prices where they were. If imported steel is 25% higher, they just need to keep their prices a couple percentage points higher than what the imported stuff is. And
it doesn't really matter why. Yeah. We're just waiting for it to come down.
We just need material prices to come down some before we can.
Yeah.
Before we can.
And when was that signed? March.
March.
Okay. So we got 2 years. How long would it take to get that up and running?
As far as the contractor piece, less than 2 weeks.
Okay, and then they could put it
before with the highway staff.
And we don't have to spend all the money. I mean, as long as it's encumbered and we've got a contract.
Yep.
Before the end of the 2 years, we're good with that.
Yeah, you just have to have it encumbered by
then. Encumbered, yeah. Okay, so we have, you know, about 21 months to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions about that, cold storage?
No.
Pavement management plan, I think we went over that. Ken's not here, so I think Elle did a pretty good job about that. Anyone have anything else about that?
No.
Okay. Anything else?
Just one quick thing. Tony, did you rewrite motion A? Remember, wasn't that the one you were...
Yeah, yeah, that's the one where we got to refer it to. We can't adopt the local law tonight. We have to refer it to the Town of Lysander Planning, the zoning board, and the county planning board for review.
Okay.
Before we adopt the local law.
Okay, so motion A is going to change to...
Refer the draft updated zoning map to
Hold
the...
Hold on. you know what? I'll let you write it. I'll let you write it.
Okay.
You can write it and I'll add it on here. Anything else? Anybody? No? Okay. I got 6:46. We'll call the work session closed.
I have a question for you.
Me?
Yeah, remember on the minutes?
Well, there's two.
Sorry.